And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about creating contentment. This is a new series that we're walking through that I've wanted to do for a while. I've wanted it right in this slot in the year. Because I know for myself, and I've noticed in other people that the Christmas season can be a time where we don't necessarily know how to handle a few things, particularly our finances. I hear often in January that people are sort of hitting January and feeling like, oh, wow, I didn't know I was spending that much, or I didn't know my credit card was being used that highly, and all of a sudden this Christmas season that was meant to be exciting and fun and just a good time, we've just spent so much, and there's been expectation on us to accomplish so much and give certain level of present and do all of this stuff, like host this kind of party and give generously and this kind of service and all of that stuff. And none of it's bad, but often we get to January and feel like, wow, something probably didn't go right there, because now I'm feeling burdened with this debt or with this challenge that is going to be hard for me to climb out of. And so Christmas is coming, and we wanted to do a little series around the idea of how do we handle our finances well, knowing the Christmas season is coming. How do we walk in a biblical way, knowing that that season's coming? There's plenty of material in the Bible about finances, about how to handle our finances. And so we're going to address a couple of those things in the coming weeks. And hopefully through it all, we're going to discover the way that God wants us to find contentment in this Christmas season that would lead us to a good January, starting off the new year in a strong way. Amen? Does anyone want that? I want that for my life. And so let me read you this verse, Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. My God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory. God can meet all your needs. A little while ago, I was taking care of my three kids. Kendall had gone away for the weekend, and this was the first time that I had done some overnighters with all three kids. And some people think, well, that's not a big deal. For me, it's a big deal. Okay, we got a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. I got to manage all this. But anyways, usually what I do on days like that, if I just have them for a couple hours or something, is I just send them all out. So I put them on the trampoline, zip up the cage net, and just leave them out there, right? Go ahead, guys, have fun, see you later. You know, once in a while I throw a piece of meat over that they can fight, or like, you know, a little candy or something, like animals at a zoo or something, I don't know. But anyways, and then I just go inside, read a book, and casually hang out, and just see you later, kids. And that's daddy babysitting. You know, Kendall, let me know about 15 minutes before you come home, and at that point we get inside and make it all look good. No. I honestly, when I'm hanging out with the kids, we're trying to figure this, but it's always a little challenge for me, for sure. Well, this last time I was hanging out with them, and it was raining outside. And when it's raining, you can't really throw your kids, at least not your 1-year-old, on the trampoline and say, fend for yourself, girl. So I had to figure out a different technique on the rainy day. What was I going to do with them? Well, I did what any good parent would do. I said, time for us to go to the store and get new toys. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea necessarily, but we got plenty of toys. But I'm just thinking, I need to find somewhere to go. What's going to make them happy? And so I say to Izzy and Hardy, okay, I want to take you to the store, and you can get one toy each, a small toy, something not too crazy, and we'll come home, and you can play with your toy, and everyone's going to be happy. And Nola, you have no idea if you're happy or not, so no toys for you, and let's go. And so we went to the store, and we the first thing, when we walk in the store, they've got all these little trinkets, you know, these little small toys right there. And so Hardy grabs this keychain one. It's this tiny little keychain. He goes, oh, Dad, could I get this? Like, this is so cool. Could I get this little thing? It's this little fuzzy thing. It costs like $2. And I, You know, veteran dads should be in a place where they say, sounds good, son, let's go. And just walk out of the store, count your blessings, you got a $2 toy, and it's all good. And I say, Hardy, you know what, that's good, but it's the first thing you saw. Have a look around. Go see if there's anything else you want. Go see if there's, once you're done, then come and see if that's still the one that you want. How many know that that wasn't still the one that he wanted by the end of that endeavor? So we go around, and as Hardy goes in, I mean, that little fuzzy keychain seemed less and less amazing to him. And he starts seeing bigger toys and more expensive toys and all this stuff. And he's, instead of him being pumped about a little keychain, he starts seeing the, whoa, what about this? And this geometry set, or this like crack a rock open and find a dinosaur thing, or this thing, wow, look at this. And eventually he comes up to me, and he's holding a box about this big for him. And it's this Playmobil, big full fire set. It's like $150. And he walks up, he goes, Dad, I need this. I need it. I just need this thing, Dad. You got to get me this thing. And I'm thinking, what happened to Keychain Boy? Like, hey, what about this, son? Do you want to go back to the $2 one? He's like, no, I need this. This is what I have to have. And his whole demeanor shifted where it was when we walked in. Like, I'm so excited that Dad wants to get me something, and this is going to be so fun. And if it's a $2 little fuzzy thing that I'll throw out at the end of the day, that'd be cool. To, I need this $150 thing or you're a terrible father. You know? And the shift takes place, and I'm in that store thinking, I'm sure glad that we all grow out of this. I'm sure glad that we all learn not to be that way. I'm sure glad that my son will not always be that way, where he won't always decide that he needs the next thing and needs another thing. Has everyone grown out of that here? We're all there. We're all past it, right? We're all done. Reality is we don't, do we? We don't always grow out of that place. You know, in lots of ways, our own life is that same way, where we you know, we think about the keychain, and it's all good until we see the other thing, and then the other thing, and then the other thing. And our wants, our desires, turn into expectations. And our expectation says, I should have this. I'm good. I'm nice. I should have this thing. If I don't have this thing, then something is wrong with the universe, and I will never be content. Until I have this thing. We change. Our contentment becomes about that thing. Our contentment is when we are satisfied with the things that we need. When all of our needs are met, we are content. The challenge is when we turn our wants into needs, and those wants get bigger and bigger, and we still call them a need. Well, it's not that I just want this. I need this. I need this thing. And until I have it, I will not be content. Christmas time, I think, does that to us in a huge way. I need to be able to get my kid this kind of present, or else it's just not going to be a good Christmas. Or I need to be able to decorate in this kind of way. I need to throw this kind of extravagant dinner, and that's just what needs to happen. And you say, well, why do you have to do that? We've just always done it that way. It's got to be the way. If we can't do it that way, I'm not going to be happy, and I'm going to pout in the store like Hardy. You know? And we start to feel that way. Our expectation gets too high. Our needs become too high that we actually stretch ourselves to meet those things because we just want to be content and have all our needs met. I was at the golf course the other day. I go golfing about one time a year. And that's not a good strategy if you want to get good at golf. So my father-in-law takes me out for my birthday basically every year. And so we went out a while ago. And when I go to the golf course, I'm expecting that I will get a score of about terrible. You know, somewhere really high up, I'll get a score up there. So we have fun, we chat, and I have zero expectations of the day. You know, when I hit a ball and it flies off into the woods, I'm like, yeah, fair enough. Away we go. And they're flying off that way, going into the water up there. You know, sometimes don't get past the women's tee, and I'm just, oh, it's all good. That's what I expected when I came here. But there's this last time I went, there was this one shot, and I'm shooting from the rough in all the trees. Surprise, surprise. And I'm trying to decide what to do. The smart thing to do is just chip it out onto the fairway and carry on. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's smart, but I'm only here once a year. So it's time for a hero moment to happen. And so I get my 5-iron out, and I'm looking at splitting these two trees right there in front of me. It's going to split those two trees, and it's going to get out there on the fairway. It might go slightly past the fairway, but this is going to be awesome. And I line it up, and I swing, and it did go through the two trees. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Not only did it go through the two trees, but I thought it was going to go past the fairway. It, like, curved. It was an act of God or something. It, like, curved and rode the fairway. It was amazing. And I forgot my golf bag. I'm like, hey, did you see that shot? Look at that. I did it. Let's go home. We're done. You know, it doesn't matter anymore. No, I grabbed my bag and I said, listen, I'm serious. I'm not joking. If I don't hit another good shot today, that's all good. I don't mind. That was incredible. I can't believe I got it. Thank you, Lord. I got one good shot out of like 2,000. Not 2,000, but a lot of shots. And like, this is, oh, no problem. So good. Now, how is it that I was so excited about that one good shot? It was because I wasn't waiting on golf to be my contentment. I wasn't coming with a whole lot of needs for golf. Golf, if I'm going to be happy when I'm done with you, then you better give me a whole lot of really nice shots. You see people who come with a different expectation to the golf course, don't you? They show up, and you know, my every single shot is going into the rough. Well, some people show up, and they get one shot like that, and they're wrapping their 9-iron around a tree, right? I don't know if you've seen someone like that. Like they come expecting that every shot is going to be fairway, and then green, and then they're going to putt it in, and they're going to be a perfect game. And if we don't have a perfect game, then I'm not going to be happy. I can't be content on the golf course unless all my needs are met, and my need is that I get every shot to look perfect. Well, my need was I maybe get one good shot. It's an easier need to meet. And so all of a sudden, I'm content. I think there's something important about that for us when we're considering faith and our finances. When we're considering how our money and our faith interact. You know, we often decide that if we have a faith, that I will have more needs met. God will meet more of my needs. I have all of these needs and all of these expectations out of life and all of these expectations about how my job and my workplace and how my finances, my promotions, and all of this should happen. And when we intersect that with faith, often we say, okay, now that I have faith, I'll pray to God who's supposed to give me all the contentment of my life. And I know contentment comes from my needs being met. So God, just meet my needs. And here they all are. There's this one, and then there's this one, and then there's this one, and then there's this one. If you meet those, I can be content. And your word says you can make me content, God. But I think a better perspective biblically that we see is that when we come to God and trust that he's going to meet our needs, that he's actually going to redefine what our needs actually are. Sometimes we think trust in God in the area of contentment is trusting that he will accomplish everything that we want him to accomplish. But trust in God in the area of contentment has more to do with the idea that when we come to God and say, I trust you to be, I can be content because you will give me everything that I need. He's going to start to say, okay, first of all, you're holding too big of a box. I don't want that for you right now. Let's take that need out and put it in your want pile. You can want it and that's okay, but you don't need it right now. I'm going to take this need out and shift it over here. That promotion that you think you won't be happy until you get, no, actually, you don't need that. And so trust for that person is to learn to remove some of your needs and put them into the wants. Contentment in Christ is simply in Christ. It's not in Christ and money and Christ and all of this and Christ and that stuff. It's not that we can't want those things or celebrate those things when they come to us, but contentment can't be hinging on some sort of financial peace if you want it also to be from Christ. If you want it to be from Christ, it can't come from money. If you want your contentment to be from Jesus, it can't come from the car you're driving. If you want your contentment to be from Jesus, it can't come from the house that you own or the people that recognize you as wealthy or even the donations that you make. Some of us get bound up in debt over the Christmas season simply because we want to give a lot to charity. I'm just going to give and give because I should be able to give a lot. And if God wants me to give a lot and I'm going to get a tax receipt for all of this and I'm going to feel good about all of these things, maybe God is saying, yes, I want you to be generous, but I don't want you to write a check for this one. I want you to be generous with your time and go and serve in that ministry. Or go and be involved with those people and go and take time with those people. God probably has a different idea about what you need than what you have for yourself. So trusting God for contentment isn't about Him fulfilling your needs. It's about Him defining them, showing you what your needs actually are. I have two chunks of scripture that I want to share with you, and they're from Paul. And Paul, if you know the Bible, Paul is this guy who probably, if he would have carried on in the life that he was living, he would have been wealthy, he would have been famous, he would have been powerful, he would have been living a pretty amazing life. Paul, that's who he was. That's where he was headed. He was known as being very wise. He was known as being a leader. He was known as being passionate. He was known as being charismatic in many ways. This is who Paul was, and he was moving along in a good direction. And Paul ends up dying a martyr's death in a prison while he was broke. This is who we're looking to learn about contentment. Isn't that awesome? Paul, tell us about it. We want to know, what is it? And Paul definitely doesn't say, oh, all you need is money. It's going to be good. Here's what he does say. 1 Timothy 6, 3-10. He's actually just finished telling servants, people who are serving in a household. He's just finished telling them, listen, I know the gospel talks about freedom. I know some of that. I know that there's hope for you. But listen, you're in a place where you're at currently right now. I just want you to know that you can thrive there, that you can serve there, that you can have contentment there, that you can have joy there, even though this isn't where I think you're forever going to be. And even though if I was talking to your master, I would tell him, let you go, set this guy free. Even though that's the case, you can thrive there. And so Paul's just finished saying that. And then he says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Some of us enter financial or godliness and we say, oh, if I'm this godly, God's going to want to bless me. And we think, if He blesses me, here's how much money that should probably turn out to be. Here's what kind of promotion that should. Wouldn't he want a godly guy like me in a high position, a high level in society? Wouldn't he want a godly guy like me to be doing those things? So of course he's going to bless me the more godly I am. And here Paul is saying, actually, that has nothing to do with the gospel. We're not talking about financial gain coming from godliness. And here he shifts it in verse 6. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You're already there if you've got contentment in your life. You're already there if you've found that contentment. He separates contentment from finances altogether. In this coming Christmas season, one of the things that we're going to need if we want to take sort of control of our finances, if we want to learn what it is to tithe or to budget or to save or to be generous, we need to learn what it is to be content no matter what financial state we're in. Because it doesn't matter where you stand today. Whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're in a big house or a small, whether you're renting or you own a nice car or not a nice car, you're walking or you're biking, wherever you stand, all of us have a tendency to want something more and to believe sometimes that godliness, if we follow Jesus, it should look like we should be provided for more. But sometimes we have confused what our needs actually are. And so we've decided that we won't be content until God meets these certain needs. And here Paul says, listen, godliness plus contentment is a gain in itself. You're gaining in life when you live that way. For we brought nothing into the world, he says, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Pretty challenging words. Paul's reshaping thought. Because when the gospel shows up in a life, sometimes we use the gospel to just move forward our agenda in our lives. Here's what I've been waiting for. Here's the blessing I've been waiting for. Good. God is here. Finally, he can bless me that way. And Paul says, no, God actually has no intention of blessing you that way. Or at least if he doesn't, you need to figure out what it looks like to still be content one way or another in your situation. In Philippians 4:10-13, Paul sort of carries on this concept when he's talking to the Philippians. He said, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Paul separates contentment from circumstances here. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances, whatever's going on in my life, whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm challenged with, I have learned to be content, whether I'm gaining money or losing money, whether I'm gaining status or losing status, whether my savings account is looking better or worse, or the value of my home is going up or going down, wherever I have learned to what it is to be content, I have learned to do that in all circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul says, I've got a secret, guys. The Philippians have told him, hey, Paul, we're ready to help you financially again. We want to support you in your ministry. And Paul says, that's awesome. That's great. But though I'll use it and I'll love it, that's amazing. But just so you know, I don't need it. Just so you know, I'll be happy either way. Just so you know, I'm fulfilled either way. All of my needs are met, whether or not you give to me, whether or not anyone else gives to me, whether or not anyone else takes the time to invest in me. Just so you know, everything is met in God. Everything is met. So he goes, I actually have learned over this time because I've had lots and I've had little and I've been taken care of and had plenty and I've been in a rough spot and I've actually learned in that process what it is to be content in all of those things, how to be content in all of those situations. And I feel like at that point they must be saying, well, how is it, Paul? Tell us about it. What does it take? What does it require? How are we supposed to be content in all of those situations? And he says, here it is, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's it. He says, well, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It takes me out of the rat race. It takes me out of the feeling of I need. And all of a sudden it strips me down to a place where I'm already content. So if I get money, wow, that's awesome. If I don't, I'm still happy. If I move up in life and get a promotion, wow, I'm so thankful. But if not, I'm in a fine place. Because all of my needs are met and I am fulfilled and satisfied and I don't have to dig around to find the next thing that might make me happy or might fulfill me or might restore me from where I'm at. Worship team, you can come on up. As I spent some time thinking about these things and looking at some of this stuff that Paul spoke about here, I think there's three markers to someone who says, my contentment comes from Christ and Christ alone. And maybe you come in here today and you don't even know Jesus. Say, I don't even know what that looks like or I don't know what that means. What it means is we want to see you not feel like you're stuck relying on your next paycheck to make you content, make you happy, make you feel secure. We want you to find security just in Jesus alone. And that's not just for, I mean, for the Christians in the room, that they feel the same way. They're trying to figure this out as well. I'm trying to figure this out as well. What we can see from Scripture is that our financial gain is definitely not the thing that's meant to give us our contentment, but Jesus is, and He can. And so there's three markers, I think. When all your needs are met in Christ, you're already content in Christ. There's three things I think you'll see in your life. One, you'll be thankful for small things. Be thankful for small things. But see, if you're working from contentment, you're already good. You're already happy. Then if someone gives you a small gift, you know, someone brings you a coffee, you don't look and say, oh, actually, I only am happy if they give me the different kind of coffee. Oh, really? Just black coffee? Yeah, that's not going to do it. My contentment is worth a lot more than that. Oh, we think, well, it's going to take a lot more than that to make me happy, but that, I guess that's a start. Okay, thank you. That's nice. If we're already good, then everything on top of that already exceeds our expectations. Contentment is having all of your expectations met already. And so if anything is given to you, anything is put on your plate, anything comes your way, oh, that's great. That exceeds my expectation. That's beyond what I could have imagined for today. And like, that's when I get excited about the 5-iron shot. And, you know, other golfers who are actually good are looking on and saying, well, yeah, but he had to get out of the rough. Like, that's not a great situation anyways. And I'm like, yes, this is awesome. I can't believe it. This is so good. The small things you become thankful for. Instead, if you start your day and you're thinking, boy, it's going to take a lot to get me to that contentment level today. I'm waiting on that promotion. I'm waiting on that income. I'm waiting on that thing. And once that happens, then I might get up to that level where contentment is realistic. Then someone gives you a small gift or a small thing comes your way, or your boss throws an encouraging word your way and you're thinking, could it be an encouraging check instead? Then all of a sudden you say, it's just not enough to get me there. It's not enough to get me there. It's not enough to get me there. And you're continually reminded how far from contentment you are. When you're content in just Christ, you will be thankful for the small things in life. Second one. You'll be thankful for the small things. You'll be generous with the big things. Well, a good recognition of where your contentment is coming from is start assessing which things, if you didn't have them, would cause you to be discontent. If your car all of a sudden was gone, you know, someone needed your car and you give it away. I just feel like I got to give this thing away. You think, well, I can't be content then. I'd have to ride my bike, or I'd have to do this, or I'd never be able to feel happy then, or I'd never be able to feel good then. It just wouldn't work for me. Then it's your bike, not Christ, that's leading you to contentment. It's your car, not Christ, that's leading you to contentment. That's why we should drive nice old 1998 CRVs like me. If I have to give away my car, it's like, sounds good. Lord, now you can provide maybe a 99. That's okay. That's okay. That's not where my contentment is going to come from. You know, if it's your house, you think, well, this house is, you know, God wants me to have a house, and God wants me to take care of my family, and God wants me to do all this. Yeah, probably. Yeah, God probably does want you to do that. But if you're going to be discontent if you don't have that, if all of a sudden that wasn't there, and you say, well, I will never be able to find contentment again, then your contentment comes from your house and not God. Because doesn't God want everyone to have a house then? If God wants you to have a house, doesn't He want the family that can't afford a house to have a house? Of course, God wants to give good gifts to everyone. But whether or not we have a house, whether or not we have a brand new car or a 1990 car, you know, whether or not our car is falling apart, whether or not we have to ride the bike, whether or not we can afford Christmas presents or put on elaborate dinners, whether or not we can give generously of our finances this Christmas season, whether or not can you find contentment? What are the big things in your life that you're unwilling to give up because they are the source of your contentment? When all your needs are met in Christ, you are thankful for small things and generous in big things. By the way, those big things in your life, of course they're good gifts from God. I'm not saying give them up, go find the big thing and give it all. No, 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 no. I mean, God does want to love and bless and give gifts. Of course, different gifts to different people. Totally. I'm okay with that. But when it becomes a need for your contentment, we want to assess that. Recognize, God, I'd give you anything because I know where my source is, and it's you. Thankful in small things, generous with big things, and lastly, faithful in all things. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about margin in our life and budgeting, tithing, and saving. What does it look like to every week be faithful to God, every month be faithful to God, not just be faithful big and then back to a little, but to regularly be able to say, God, you own my finances, you own that world for me, and I'm with you, and I'm for you, and I'll be faithful today and tomorrow and this week and this month, not just once a year faithfulness, but regularly with my life. I want to be faithful to you. Why? Because contentment comes from him. You are okay because of him. You need nothing because of him. And so since that is the case, we can be generous and allow him to speak into our worlds and our lives. When all our needs are met in Christ, when we found our contentment in Christ, we are thankful for the small things, generous with the big things, and faithful in all things. Today, I feel like I want to pray for some people who say, you know what, that's me. I just want to be in that place. I want to be in that place where I don't need the next thing to be content. I want to be in that place where I feel full when I wake up. I want to be in the place where already I start my day and I'm already content. No one has to do a good thing for me to get me to that place, but I'm actually ready because I'm already fulfilled to do good things for others and to take care of others and look after others and invest in other people. And I don't need to use my whole paycheck to make me happy, but I can figure out ways of spreading it around because I'm okay whether that paycheck is used on me or not. I'm content one way or another. And today I feel like God wants to lift some of our heads, lift us out of that rut of saying, I need this thing to be content. He's saying, no, it's just me. It's just me. And when you have me, you have enough. When you have me, you have everything that you'll ever need. When you have me, you're taken care of. When you have me, you have something to give. And so today, as we start this series, I just want to do, who in here says, I just want to be in that place where I'm content, where God is enough, where my life is full, and I want to be content to a place where I give, I could be generous, I could give of my time, I could give of my life, and I can look to God and be fulfilled. If that's you, why don't you just raise your hand so I can pray for you. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, hands all over. Of course we want this. Amen. Yeah, I want to pray for you and you and you and you. All the hands that are raised up, I want to pray for you. This is a time where we start to believe, God, you are enough. You are enough. You are enough. And I'll walk with you. And I don't need to figure out the next thing. So Lord, we just believe you have every good gift. There's nothing that we can have that could outgive you. There's no good thing that we could find that would be better than you. And so Lord, with that truth in our hearts, we just say, show us what we need, God. Show us what we need in our lives. Let us remove the things that we don't need from keeping us from contentment, Lord. Let us put them in the want pile, that we want lots of things, that we love lots of things, that we're dreaming for lots of things. But God, we will not lose our contentment because we don't receive those, but instead we would recognize you as everything that we need, that our contentment would be in you, that our hope would be in you, that our life would be restored to you. We just love you, Jesus. Thank you for leading us this way. Help us to find freedom in this area in the next 3 weeks. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody who believes says, amen. Amen. Why don't we stand up together? These guys are going to play a song for us as we go. But today, maybe that's the first time you say, I want to know the contentment of Christ in my life for the very first time. Would you fill out a connect card for us? They're right in front of you. Drop it off at the info desk. We'd love to follow up, get to know you, connect you in here. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.